A wide majority of representatives found something to like in the massive House legislation, leading to a final vote of 85 to 42 in its favor. The bill includes $21 million in one-time aid to nursing homes to put toward workers, possibly in the form of employee bonuses. It also expands eligibility for the state's senior drug program and extends program benefits to disabled people under age 65. The bill contains language addressing health, agriculture, the environment, and crime, to name a few. Republican Phil Krenke of Shoreview says its very magnitude could make it unwieldy in a House-Senate conference committee.
Well, I think it's going to be a very difficult bill to conferee. I don't think there's any doubt about that, just because it contains so many different issues.
While the bill saw endless floor debate and a landslide of amendments, Krenke says combining so many subjects was intended to save time in the long run.
The speaker said earlier that Majority Leader Mo had earlier in the year decided that this would be a better approach than having 10 separate finance conference committees meeting.
Legislators are hoping to accomplish their work ahead of schedule this session, so they'll have time to reconvene after Governor Jesse Ventura has considered their bills and possibly override some gubernatorial vetoes. One of the most visible items in Monday's bill is a provision to sanction welfare recipients up to 100%, meaning a total cutoff in benefits if they fail to comply with job search requirements for several months. Republican Kevin Goodnow of Moorhead, who chairs the Health and Human Services Finance Committee, sponsored the controversial bill. Goodnow says his bill would not allow payments to be cut off until the recipient has had a face-to-face meeting with a caseworker and a fairness hearing.
Quite frankly, we put numerous safeguards into place to make sure that the people that are sanctioned under this bill are those people that have had the opportunity to comply with the employment plan, have the ability to comply with the employment plan, but choose not to.
Critics say the sanctions could still be applied mistakenly and would harm a poor and vulnerable population, including children. Minneapolis DFLer Greg Gray says he's not worried about the state doing too much to help people get off welfare.
We talk about, you know, whether the state is being too compassionate, which is a sin I hope we're guilty of when this is all said and done. But we don't focus enough, certainly in this bill we don't, focus enough on what happens to the kids.
Thanks to an infusion of federal welfare money, the entire House package emerges with a savings to the state of about $28 million. The bill would add $90 million in federal welfare funds to the state's general budget. Critics say such a move could get Minnesota in trouble with members of Congress for not putting the money to its intended use. Governor Ventura wants to use the federal money to build affordable housing. The House bill also contained the so-called Women's Right to Know legislation, which requires distribution of printed materials to inform women about the risks of abortion. While the Right to Know language passed with little comment on the House floor, representatives also deleted language to create a bust of Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun, a Minnesota native, for display at the Capitol. DFLer Steve Trimble of St. Paul says the group Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life lobbied against the Blackmun statue because of the justice's role in writing the Roe v. Wade decision.
I just find it sad that this has become something that the MCCL is out in the hallway saying that they're going to look at this as an important vote. Folks, I'm not asking for a plaque that says Roe versus Wade was great.
Another major provision in the bill would provide a 7-year felony penalty for anyone caught driving while intoxicated for a fourth time. Opponents say the number of new felons would require building more prisons, which the legislation doesn't fund. Instead, the bill instructs the Department of Corrections to study an array of housing options for the DWI offenders and report back to legislators. At the Capitol, I'm Amy Radel, Minnesota Public Radio.